This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Take care of your property with equipment you can count on, like the Kubota BX and LO1 series compact tractors, part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup, rated number one for reliability, and Z-Series mowers and Sidekick utility vehicles, where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit GoKubota.com for a dealer near you.
And welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Jan Chenaeus and Rodney Marsh. This is our exclusive interview with Rodney Marsh. And I've been so excited to do this, Giannis. And let's not waste any time. Rodney, thank you so much for joining Giannis and myself today. And just, again, welcome to Cottage Talk.
No worries. Let's get going.
Okay. Well, let's start from the beginning, Rodney, and I just want to get your thoughts. Obviously, you had two spells. You had one loan spell for him, but talk about the beginning stages. I actually had a good friend that watched you play, and he wanted to get your thoughts on playing with the players that you played in the beginning of your career. You're talking about Johnny Haynes and players like that. Yeah. So just to get us going, talk about your first stage with Fulham, you know, and, you know, I actually – watched an interview with you, and you could not say enough good things about Johnny Haynes.
Well, let's start with the way it all happened. I was playing in a recreational team, youth club league, when I was 14, and a lot of scouts come to look at the games that I played in, and there was Spurs were there, West Ham were there, Fulham were there. The Fulham scout was a guy called Bill Brown, who many people would have forgotten by now, and he probably don't even know who he is, but it was Bill Brown that saw me. And I actually signed amateur forms for West Ham. And I was at West Ham for a short while there. They chucked me out. They didn't like me. They called me in and said, you've got too much flair for our team. You're too much of an individual, and we've got Jeff Hurst coming through, and blah 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 blah. And they dumped me. They kicked me out. Bill Brown came back on to me and said, "Do you want a trial for Fulham, son? Come down and trial." So I said, "Yes, yeah, sure," because Johnny Haynes was a hero of mine at that time. Okay. And I went down for a trial with Fulham, and they signed me as a 16-year-old on the terraces, sweeping the terraces and cleaning out the bars and washing the gear. And my boss was Joe Bacuzzi. People may have forgotten Joe Bacuzzi's name at Fulham. And I had, five and a half, 6 great years there as a kid, yeah.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, is there anything you want to ask Rodney? Just talking about his first time at Fulham. Then obviously we'll talk about his loan spell with Fulham with George Best.
Yeah.
Looking back on that first spell, at West Ham, I think it was 59 to 60. Any regrets about you know, your spell there? Do you think you could have done, do you believe you could have done things a little differently, or you just thought, you know what, that was their loss, I'll just move on?
Well, good question, because, you know, as you get older in your life, and as you become more experienced about life, and as you become more mature, you realize that you don't have to bullshit anymore. You can just tell it like it is. And I was a very arrogant, cocky young kid at 16. I wouldn't have signed Rodney Marsh at 16 because I felt I was better than all the other players that were professionals. And I was a very, very cocky young man. So I understood why they dumped me, because I was a very much an individualist. And I understood why Fulham signed me, because that's what they wanted. So no regrets about that, no.
Okay, very good, Ronnie. And, great. You know, I do have a question about your time at QPR in just a second, but let's just jump ahead and let's talk about your loan spell of a form and then playing with the...
Whoa. You're going way too quick, because I want to, you know, this is a cottage talk Fulham interview. So I want to talk about my early days, because...
Sure, go ahead.
As I was going to say, I was this young, brash, cocky kid that used to love to do tricks.
Yep.
And you know, I scored goals in the youth teams. I was 16, and we used to sweep the terraces. So after a game, the players would come in, the first team would come in, the reserves would come in, and the kids like me and many others would be on the terraces sweeping the terraces. And one day, I'm sweeping the terraces along with three or four others. Players, and one of the first team players in the eight-a-side game they were playing, one of the first team players went down, and Johnny Haynes looked in the terraces and went, "Rodney, come on, son, come on, you've got to make up the numbers, make up the numbers." So, you know, I went, oh, so
that's great.
I went, "Me? You mean me, Mr. Haynes? Me, Mr. Haynes?" So he said, "Yeah." So I get on the field, and like that, I reverted to my cocky, arrogant self. And I'm only 16, and I get the boys played up to me. I turned, and George Cohen comes into me, and I nutmegged him. I went around the other side and put it in the back of the net. And he looks at me, and about 5 minutes later, I got the ball again, and Alan Mullery come up to me, and I nutmegged Alan Mullery. And I missed a goal, but I now nutmegged in 5-10 minutes. I've nutmegged Alan Mullery and George Cohen, both England internationals.
Wow.
The next time the boys played out to me, I don't remember it. George Cohen kicked me onto the running track. You know, the red stuff that used to go around the field. He kicked me on there. He looks at me and went, "All right, son." I went, "Oh, I'm not doing that again."
That's great, Ronnie.
Yeah,
Well, it sounds like, you know, and again, I'm glad that we were having you on and to talk about your time at Fulham, because it sounds like you said, Fulham took you in as a young kid. But, you know, again, this is where you – is this where you really learned to be a professional? Was it Fulham? Or did that really just move on, like, throughout your career, like you said, with QPR, Man City? And but did it really start at Fulham?
It absolutely did, and you guys might identify with this, or you know, Fulham supporters watching this later. What I used to do, I would get a ride to training or from training with Johnny Haynes. He had this beautiful Jaguar car, and he'd get like four or five in the Jag, and he would drive. And when I became 18, I would drive my car the same way Johnny Haynes drove his car with my hands. I had them at the same angle and the same thing. And that was Johnny Haynes 2 years later. I just copied Johnny Haynes. And the way that he walked and the way that he, you know, he was such an idol. He's such a great, tremendous, but both for England and for Fulham, of course, captain of both, yeah. And one quick story.
Go ahead.
I was 18, my first game for Fulham was Johnny Haynes played against Russia for England at Wembley, and they had a magnificent win. And on the Thursday after the game, he came back and he had an injury. And the manager was called Bedford Jezzard. And Bedford Jezzard called me into his office and said, son, he said, Johnny ain't fit for Saturday. You're wearing a number 10 shirt in the youth team. We want you to wear Johnny Haynes' number 10 shirt on Saturday. And I went, wow, for my debut, Johnny Haynes. And we played Aston Villa, right?
Yep.
Aston Villa is a well-documented game. You can just check it out. We won 1-0. I scored the goal from a volley from about 20 yards right in the top corner. And I come next day, and I'm looking at all the papers, and I'm looking at all the stuff and all this. And, great goal, great goal. And the headline was, Rodney Marsh's day, now he's back in the shadows. because next week, Johnny Haynes was fit. and I was out again. So that was my first moment of glory.
Wow, that's great. Giannis, Rodney, do you want to chime in here?
Rodney, I was going to say, 6 months later, you picked up a pretty bad injury.
Yeah.
I know. And you smashed your jaw in.
Yeah.
And you were out for a little while, quite a while.
Months.
During that time, was there any point where you thought, I think that was September 63, September, October, something like that. Point where you thought, you know what, I don't think I'm going to make this back? Because you had a very, for the younger Fulham fans, you broke your jaw.
Fractured jaw.
And was there any point where you thought, you know what, I might never be able to make it back?
Fascinating, you know your stuff. Fascinating, because what happened was, I was headed the winning goal against Leicester away from home. We beat them 1-0. I scored the headed goal, and as I headed it, defender came out and smashed me in the side of the head, broke my jaw, and the bone of the fracture went through the nerve of my ear and made me deaf for life. So I'm deaf in my left ear for life. And what we didn't know at the time, because in those days, you know, the medical care was nowhere near what it is today. And what we didn't know at the time was it had upset the balance of the equilibrium of the ear, you know, the canals of the ear and all that. And after about a month having treatment and not being able, I was listening to the left. So, and I wasn't training, of course, or anything like that. I was just walking around, still at home with my parents. And I kept listening to my left. And I told the physio, and he went, oh, we better get that specialist to evaluate that. And what they found was in the inner circle of your ear, you got a fluid that balances the way you walk. And he said, it's all gone. He said, it all came out in the injury. And you've got to wait for it to come back again, you know, get new fluid in your ear. And he had me walking on boards that were upside down, wobbly. So I had to stand on the board and wobble around. I did that for about, oh my goodness, for about 2 months. And eventually it came back. The hearing never did come back, but the balance came back. And it's a great question, because the first thing I thought was, I ain't going to head another ball, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it did come back, and I'd started to play again, and the rest after that is history, of course.
Okay, great stuff. Great question there, Giannis. Okay, well, that's going to segue talking a little bit about QPR. And then, Rodney, I just want you to know that a friend of mine actually gave me a question to give to you, and I'm going to pose it this way. This is from my friend Steve Reynolds. I nicknamed him the Fulham Fart. It's actually his birthday today. So happy birthday, Steve, in Spain. Here's my question from him. He wanted me to ask you, who was a better player, you or Stan Bowles?
Well, we were different types of players. I've been asked that a million times. And we were different types of players. I was a goal scorer, a creator. Stan was a creator, secondary thin goal scorer. I mean, at QPR, I scored 44 goals in one season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Stan scored 44 goals in his career. I don't know that. I ended up scoring over 100 goals for Queen's Park Rangers. Stan probably got 40. I don't know.
Sure.
But we were different type players. I was a goal scorer that could play and create. Stan was the other way around. So I was more, if I wanted to put it in terms of analysis, it doesn't matter who's best or not. I read a fantastic book about the Aborigines in Australia. And they have a saying, which is something to the effect of, it's completely stupid, two fleas arguing who owns the dog. And I think that's a great saying. Who really cares? You know, and is best the right word? Is more effective? Is more produce? You know, is more success? You know, the team I played in was a great, great team at QPR.
Yep.
We won the double. No third division team in history has ever won the double before or since. We won the League Cup and the third division championship. So, and I scored that 44 goals in that season, actually got into the England team at the same time. And all that, you know, is one thing. And then I left, and the way I heard Stan Bowles tell the story, he said everybody yep. was terrified to wear the number 10 shirt. He said, I'll take it, and I'll wear the number 10 shirt. But what happened after that is QPR then signed Tony Curry, and Tony Curry wanted the number 10 shirt. So Stan said, okay, I'll wear number 8. So it was kind of, you see where I'm going
yep.
with this?
Yeah,
right?
I do.
So, yeah.
Oh, fascinating stuff. Rodney, all right, let's talk a little bit. And I do have a question for you that I'm going to share with you in a second yeah. about, you know, again, playing your second time with Fulham. And I'm just curious, you know, and again, I watched a bunch of videos of you and George in that period of time. You know, again, I wish I was a fan back then, because it sounds like it was a fascinating time to be a Fulham supporter. But yeah. I'm curious what it was like for you to play with George, the two of you. I actually watched, and again, I am admitting I watched the YouTube video of, I believe it's the Hereford match where you guys won 4-1.
Yeah.
And great stuff there. But I'm just, if you could talk a little bit about your loan spell coming back to Fulham and what that was like.
Well, yeah, sure. I knew George Best from 1972 until he died, until the day George died. I was with George 15 minutes before he died.
Oh.
So we had a very close relationship. But talking specifically about the Fulham loan spell from America, yep. we both come back.
Right.
It's important to, you know, as time goes on, you lose perspective. And I always felt it's my job to put perspective to people that don't get it and don't understand it. So that's, I'm not sure. saying it's about you two. I'm just saying generally, yep. right? When I first played for England, I was with Queen's Park Rangers, first Queen's Park Rangers player to be capped since the war. So it was a big deal, right? So I'm playing for England against Switzerland, and I go down to Sir Ralph Ramsey. I go down to the Lillishall or wherever it was. We and I'm sitting there, my first time. So I'm like the young kid on the block, and there's all the other, you know, great players and that. And suddenly, Bobby Moore walks in. And everybody went quiet, and everybody sort of went, you know, like on tender hooks. And I wanted to, I almost felt like saying, Mr. Moore, I'm Rodney Marsh. I mean, he was that big a personality, right. Bobby Moore. So when I come, point being,
yeah.
when I came back to Fulham on loan, Bobby was there and was captain. So it was just, not only George Best is now
yeah.
going back to being with Bobby Moore, Bobby Moore was one of the greatest players and gentlemen that I ever played with in world football.
That's great. That's great stuff. Giannis, anything you want to ask Rodney about this period?
Oh, God, I remember it very, very clearly. I remember that Hereford game. I remember the 5-0 Oldham game, the chip from Bestie. I mean, that one I'll never forget. I remember talking actually to my dad at about the time when both of them came on board, because George had had a pretty tough upbringing over in Belfast. Yeah. I'm a prodigious kid, much like Rodney. And what I thought was remarkable is you got two players of that brilliance. And I don't like the word maverick, because sometimes it's used negatively, and for me it implies brilliance. And I did some research into Rodney about what his upbringing was like, because I know that George's was tough, and what I discovered back then that Rodney's was probably as tough, if not tougher, and that yeah. he'd had to go through an awful lot of trauma and adversity to even be able to kick a ball as a young lad,
right?
And to do what he'd done to come through the ranks of West Ham and then Fulham and then obviously to go to QPR and to Man City was really nothing short of a miracle. So when young footballers, modern footballers, talk about adversity and the building of resilience, they need to look back at this fella and look back to what he had to go through to get where he got, and then maybe come back and may come back with a little bit of humble pie and talk about the reality of what it was like back then.
Yep.
With big footballs, with big expectations and tougher players and family upbringings that weren't always great. So, you know,
fantastic, it's a good point. Yanis, that's a fantastic point, because only 2 weeks ago I did a similar podcast like this. And it was from a Queen's Park Rangers group in America, a local group in Orlando. And somebody asked me the question about today's players in the COVID, where they have to be in their house and they have to wear a mask and they do this and they do that, and how negative it is and how desperate they are and all that. And I said, let me tell you a little story. I said, my wife's sister was born under a table in Dagenham in Essex during the war. They had no sugar, no milk, and no bread as the German bombs were overhead. Don't tell me sitting at home having to watch Netflix every night is a hardship. And they didn't like that too much, you know. So, but it's facts. It's facts. You know, the upbringings of, I mean, George Best's upbringing, you know, it's incredibly poor upbringing. And he came out of that to become the greatest, one of the greatest players that's ever played the game. So there you go.
No, Yanis, great. Thank you for bringing that up. And
yeah,
funny.
Good question. Yeah, good
no, it's a great question. It's actually, you know, I was talking to my friend Steve, who I asked had you answer the question, and he was talking about your upbringing and how it was rough. And I think it's also important to put it in perspective, Rodney. So thank you for sharing that with us. You know, and again, I think it's a great question from Yanis to bring that to you. And anything else you want to talk about your time as a footballer? You know, and again, you spent a lot of time over here. You're now living in the Tampa area.
There really is so much to talk about.
The players, I know. We could do a whole
3 hours. You could. The players that I played with and against, and recently somebody asked me to name the 11 players that I played against, the best players that I played against. Right, and when I started saying Johan Cruyff, Eusebio, Pele, Bobby Moore, Franz Beckenbauer, Carlos Alberto, Gordon Banks, they all went, "Oh, we get it now."
That's great. That's great. You know, and listen, you know, and I'll say this right now, and as we transition, we're going to talk about it and get Rodney's thoughts about the current Fulham team. I just want to say I am a loyal listener to the Grumpy Pundits.
Grumpy Pundits, yes.
Oh, love it on SiriusXM FC. And if you can listen to it, if you're in America, I believe it's also in Canada, definitely check it out. And it's a wonderful show, and I would highly recommend it. And Rodney, you've been great on it, along with Tommy Smith and
Tom Rennie.
And I, like I said, I listened to the show today. It was very interesting stuff. As always, it's never boring. It's always interesting. I would highly recommend it.
Thank you.
Coming up next, I'm going to ask Rodney his thoughts on the current Fulham team. Okay, Rodney, let's get to it. And, you know, I'm, I listen to your show. I follow you on Twitter. So I kind of have an idea on your thoughts on the Fulham team.
Yeah.
But let's start at the beginning of the season. And what were your expectations as the season began? You know, obviously many pundits thought Fulham were going to get relegated. And if you watch the beginning of the season, it certainly backed that up. But what were your thoughts before the season began and going into the season?
Yeah, I feared for Fulham early on this season. I still do. I mean, the knee-jerk reaction that fans have and I'm not talking about Fulham fans, I'm talking about football fans.
Yep.
There's a knee-jerk reaction. I got into a massive Twitter go-around last season when I said something to the effect of, and it was going through a bad period last year,
Yep.
And it was before the playoffs and all that. And I said, Fulham should sign Scott Parker to a new 4-year contract. And people went, "You're mad at me, you're crazy. I mean, they can't do this. He's too young. He can't." I said, "Well, hang on. Take your time. Take your time. Give him a chance. Let's see how it pans out, right?"
Exactly.
I think I've been proven to be right on that one, number one.
You absolutely have, Rodney. It's funny that you went there because I was going to ask you your thoughts on Parker, because if you go back to that situation that you had last season, you could still see a manager that was learning his craft. And, you know, it went from the end of last season into the playoffs and obviously transitioned now to the Premier League. So when you look at him, you know, and I'm sorry if I'm going to bring this comparison, someone that actually got sacked, Frank Lampard, and, you know, it's unfortunate that he got sacked at Chelsea, but I look at Fulham backing their manager, seeing it through with Parker, and I think he's being rewarded, and the cons and us fans are being rewarded because you're seeing a manager that has grown into the position, Rodney. So curious your view of the journey of Scott Parker as a manager.
Well, it's no secret. I have got a secret. But it's no secret. I do think he's an excellent manager, football manager. He's so young, but he's composed. Everything he says, he gives it deep thought. I listen to almost every interview that he gives it when I can.
Yep.
He doesn't. Now, if Scott Parker finds a way of listening to this, I'll be interested to see how he relates to this, because every time I've watched him interviewed, he doesn't give excuses.
No.
He gives reasons. And there's a massive difference between that. You know, if something goes wrong, you can give the reasons that it went wrong. But it's not like, "Oh, the referee was this," or the crowd was that, or the bad foul, or the referee, the penalty. And, it's always a reasoned discussion with Scotty Parker. I like that. But what you don't know was, when Scott Parker was 15, I actually interviewed him. He will remember this. I interviewed him because he was about to go to Spurs as a 15-year-old kid, and he was as composed as a 15-year-old as he is now. So there you go.
Wow, that's great. Over to you, Giannis. Anything you want to ask Rodney about the current team? And I've got a couple more topics as well.
Well, you know, I've been really high on Scott Parker since day one. I mean,
yes, you have.
He's a London boy. He came in, you know, we were struggling a couple of years ago. And, I admire his approach to the game. And Ronnie's absolutely right. He doesn't give excuses. He gives explanations. And I read an interview with Zambo Anguissa last week where he said, "Scotty can make you walk on water. He builds you up in such a way that you can step across the white lines. And there's nothing that you cannot do as a player." And I'm just thinking of, you know, motivational coaches that empower their athletes that much that you could go out and do what they can do. That win against Liverpool on Sunday, I thought was remarkable. Because, and not least because of the venom that was directed against Klopp and his lineup, but people forgot that this team's been unbeaten 7 games on the road. We've been playing really well for a lot of the season. We're tight at the back, and instead of giving the lads credit and saying, you know what, Fulham have done a good job and they might just stay up, it's what Liverpool have done wrong and the strikers can't score and what have you. So I thought that was disappointing, very disappointing. And Scotty, I think, has done a great job. I agree with you, Ron. Great job.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is I actually did the opposite of that. I actually said it was all about Fulham, and it was.
Yes you did, Ronnie.
Yeah, I hope you heard that. Yeah.
I did.
Yes, I did, actually, Rodney. Yes.
Yeah. I absolutely did, Rodney. And that's, you know, and again, that's what's great, you know, and if you go on Twitter, you could see Rodney's tweets as well about this, because coming out of the match, you know, obviously us fans, we're excited. And I want to listen and watch everything. And I'm telling you, 90 to 95% of the comments were Liverpool-based. And I'm thinking, wait a minute here. This is also a very big match for Fulham. But you looked at it in a different way, Ronnie. Talk a little bit about what you got out of this victory for Fulham. You know, again, you were very – you were more – it was more to do with Fulham, as you just said.
Absolutely. But you see, This is something, Yanis, I don't know, you've been around the game and watching the game for probably 40 years or longer, so you've seen a lot of things. When you analyse football, and I've always been this way, by the way, in lesser years more so, but when you analyse football, you have to look at all aspects of the game. And I take a lot of my analysis of the game with a great coach that I was with called Malcolm Allison. Malcolm Allison was the coach of Manchester City. Yep. He went to Crystal Palace, blah, blah, blah. And over the years, being with Malcolm, I gleaned a lot of things. One of the things that I learned from Malcolm that nobody talks about, and I know you two are going to start talking about it now because I'm telling you to, is football is not all about what you do with the ball. Football is about sometimes what you do when you don't have the ball.
Yeah.
How you get possession back. Do you have players in your team that can tackle and win possession and then give it to the players that can play? So there's two sides to a game. It's not always, oh, he missed a goal, he missed a pass, he missed a shot. You have to, and Fulham are doing that part of the game so well. And the player that's getting, and I've seen probably 6 or 7 of the last 10 games, I'm guessing, a player that's getting no credit, at least in a broader sense, is Anderson. Anderson, to me, looks like a tremendous defender. I don't know if you're getting it in England, you're hearing so little about him, aren't you?
Well, that's interesting that you say that. Obviously, we talk a lot about Joachim Anderson on this show, but I know what you're talking about in the larger scale.
Generally, you're
right, Rodney, because there isn't enough talk because, again, it's about Fulham, right? He's a Fulham player, but yes, that's a great point because we're not hearing his name enough. Yanis, your thoughts about what Rodney just shared there?
Rodney just stole my thunder. Sorry, I was going to say, I'll tell you why, because at the end of the show, I was going to say, Rodney, Stan Bowles, Frank Worthington, between them, 22 caps for England.
Yeah.
Absolute disgrace.
Oh, wow.
Absolute disgrace. Joachim Andersen, 1 cap for Denmark. The way he's playing, tell me a centre back right now outside maybe John Stones, who's playing better at the back than Anderson and the whipping. For example, the goal against Sheffield United, he's knocked a 40-45 yard ball across to Dacre Dover-Reed. And then I couldn't stop laughing because against Liverpool, just outside the box, Dacre Dover-Reed wins the ball and knocks a similar ball wide left. And looks
yeah, he did. Thinking,
he's copying the Bible. Anderson's a magnificent player. And what he's done is you can see Tosin has really picked up from that. And you've got the wing-backs coming in now. They feel confident. Alphonse is behind and he's going, okay, I'm settled with the four. He's done tremendously well. And to think he couldn't get a game for Lyon.
It's crazy to think.
Part two, excuse me for jumping in there. But
go ahead, Ronnie.
Part two of that, which is easy to gloss over, is he's a loan player. He's on loan from Lyon, isn't he? Am I right in saying that?
That is absolutely correct.
So if I'm calm right now, the phones are going crazy because I want him in my team next year. Now, you might have a problem with that because his agent might be saying, well, if Fulham can't stay up, does he want to be playing in the Championship, you know? So you got that element in there. But I would definitely be trying to sign him to a 4-year, 5-year contract. Oh,
so would I, Rodney. That's a no-brainer. All right, one other thing that I want to talk about before we talk about your thoughts on Fulham survival, and you've tweeted a great deal about this, and you actually talked about this with Tom Rennie. And you really – this bothered you, so this won't be a shock to talk about the handball against Tottenham. And, of course, I spelled that wrong. There's a Goldman there. So let's get your thoughts about how that all went down and what were you thinking about when you saw that? And, you know, again, it wasn't VAR's fault. It was the rule. What were your thoughts about the handball situation with Fulham against Tottenham?
I could speak for 5 hours solid on VAR and the damage that it's doing to the game because I don't know if you saw Pep Guardiola. Where are we now? We're Thursday. We're Thursday now.
Yep.
And this morning, Thursday, Pep Guardiola said, somebody is going to have to tell me what the VAR rules are. Now, this is Pep Guardiola, arguably the best coach in the world. You could have that argument. And Pep Guardiola is saying, I don't understand the VAR rule. Now, if he don't, how can a fan, how can a pundit like me, how can anybody, if one of the greatest coaches in the world doesn't understand VAR, how can anybody else?
No, it's great. It's a great point. And Giannis, any thoughts you want to add to that? Because we've talked about that a great deal here on Connor's Talk.
Yeah, I saw that interview after the Southampton game, because there's two things that came out. You mentioned the Lamina handball against Tottenham. You talked about the Arsenal handball. But he also talked about the Phil Foden challenge last night.
Yes.
And, you know, Phil has been taken out.
And you talked about this on your show, Rodney.
We did, yeah. Great length, by the way, yeah.
And he stayed on his feet. I mean, he's a rarity. The lad has stayed on his feet. And so they've gone to VAR, and VAR must have seen that there's been a trip, because it's supposed to be an assistant to the referee, and yes, they've not given it. So he's been punished, essentially, for being honest. So, I mean, Foden deserves an awful lot of credit for what he did, and he's a spectacular player. But
does he?
Giannis,
a rarity. Does he? I know, a lot of credit for being honest. I've had this debate for years and years and years, and I go back to central defenders who used to kick lumps off of me, you know, like Chopper Harris and Norman Hunter and, you know, all these assassins as they used to be. And we developed a thing where if we got touched, we went down. If we got a little, you know, trip or anything like that, we went down for a penalty or kick. Because you knew you ain't going to get it if you don't. And secondary, you're going to get a great big lump on the back of your leg because he's done you and you haven't gone down. So Phil Foden, while it's admirable, and I almost hate to say this because I got in a row this morning with Tom Rennie, and that is, if you don't dive, you don't get. Because that was the best example. Phil Foden, he got clipped on his ankle. He's stumbling, trying to keep his feet. I'm thinking, ref, you got to blow your whistle. And he didn't. He just carried on trying to get his balance, and then he got it. And you got to cheat. Got a cheat, and I hate to say that, but it's part of it. I know everybody hates it when I say that.
I hate it, Rodney, but I understand where you're coming from. Everybody does.
But Russ, Rodney's just made me, he's just made me shudder here, because he played with Chopper Harris back at, I think, the Hackney Marshes days. And Chopper Harris was as hard a nutter. I mean, I think of nutters, and I mean this affectionately. Right, yeah. I can just imagine Mickey Joy, the old Chelsea centre-back, kicking absolute 6'5" and 260, and it was really funny looking at it, because I thought that VAR have to give it, but they didn't, and that's why I think Pep reacted the way he did. He said, "Look, come on, like, what is this rule? What are we actually doing here?" So, you know, he was annoyed.
Yeah. Okay, Rodney, I have to ask you this, and again, you mentioned this a little bit. I want your honest opinion on Fulham's chances of survival here. Again, they are where they are. As we always say, the table doesn't lie. But I think I see a team that should get out of this, but it shouldn't. You know, we shall see. What are your thoughts on Fulham's survival chances here?
A lot of Fulham fans follow me on Twitter, and I follow back on some of them, and I get the feedback and the. I analyse things. I don't jump and have knee-jerk reactions because Fulham have a couple of great results. I don't suddenly have a knee-jerk reaction. Fans do. Whether you like it or not, most fans, not all fans, most fans have a knee-jerk reaction, right? I said about 6 weeks ago, I said, Fulham could get out of this. I said, Sheffield United have gone. West Bromwich Albion are going to be close behind them. I said, but Fulham can still get out of this. And I said this then, and I'm going to say it again now, because Newcastle are falling like a rock. The last game of the season is Fulham against Newcastle. Yeah. That could be they call it a £70 million game. One of those teams could get relegated. And I haven't changed my mind about that. I think Fulham can get out of it. Absolutely. Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay, great. Good stuff there, Ronnie. Ronnie, do you have about 5 or 10 more minutes to talk a little bit about the Man City match? Good.
Sure.
Because we're going to finish up just doing a very quick preview of the Man City match. And Giannis, definitely want your thoughts on Man City as well. But Just share with me, Rodney, and then I'll go to Yanis, just your opening thoughts on Man City. I did watch the match yesterday. I'm trying to think in my head, you know, and again, we've been talking about this, that it's a free hit against Man City because Man City is probably the only team that I don't think, you know, realistically Fulham can beat. But you know what? It's, you know, they're going to go into it trying to win. But after watching the Southampton match, and you actually had some very interesting commentary on how Southampton approached it. So just your opening thoughts on Man City.
Well, let me go on the Man City versus Fulham analysis because
sure,
I don't believe you can play Manchester City and try and outplay them. I don't think you can do that. And I'm talking about at the very highest level. I'm talking about really top world teams as well. Man City can outplay, on any given day, Man City can outplay anybody. They've got so many talented players. And they've got £500 million worth of talent on the bench that don't come into the game sometimes. If Scott Parker, who I believe has learned very quickly, he's a very astute young man,
yep.
Scott Parker. I would have a little bet. I don't know this. I'd have a little bet that in this game that Scott Parker changes the way they play.
I think you're right.
I think he might go with five players in midfield, four at the back, or a combination thereof. So he's got nine behind the ball and he's got one player up front. That one player could be Josh Maggio if he's fit.
Okay.
Because he's quick, he's rangy, he doesn't mind chasing lost causes, which some players do. Mitrovic can't do that role. I'm sorry, he can't play that right. He doesn't play that way. So you've got one player up front, five in midfield, and that's the way that I think Scott Parker will change the team because he knows that you ain't going to outplay Man City.
Right, and what's interesting, he already had his presser today, and he talked about that. Again, full of praise for Manchester City, and he knows that his team's going to be, you know, struggling at probably major parts of this match, but he says that there will be opportunities for him, and basically, paraphrasing because I don't have the quotes in front of him, you know, pick your spots to hurt
you. Yeah, sure.
And I think you might be onto something, Rodney, because it might be that kind of situation where they'll pick their spots, and they're going to have to execute on those occasions. Yanis, what are your thoughts about this? Because, again, it really comes down to how can Fulham get a result, you know? And, you know, I've been listening to Rodney's thoughts on it, and then, I saw comments from the presser, and I'm thinking Rodney might be on to something. What are your thoughts?
Well, the win on Sunday, I think, has bought him a little bit of capital. So when he went back to Motspur Park with the lads on Monday morning, they'll all have been buoyant. And he just thought, okay, we've got the 3 points now. Maybe, you know, we've got one win out of three. We could have got more. So this is a little bit of a throwaway. So perhaps if I throw together a plan and with the confidence we've got a week to prepare for this, we might give them a little bit of a surprise. City are magnificent. They're magnificent. They've got a magnificent coach. The brilliance of what they do is the interchangeable parts. They're a fluid team, a possession team. They're going to be worthy champions. I can't think highly enough of what they do there. But I think this is the sort of game where we can go with some confidence. And if he has a specific game plan and say, look, if it doesn't go well, fine. We've got Leeds in 6 days' time. That's okay. But have faith in your ability to do something. And he can point to certain games. He can point to Leicester, the King Power. He can talk about Everton at Goodison Park. They've gone up to Liverpool and they've won up there. Yeah. And said, look, I have faith in you. Let's see. Let's ask some questions early. We're not going to do like the kamikaze Hassan Hutel. We're going to go down. You know, that was a disaster.
Made no sense either.
Made no sense. No, it didn't because they picked Southampton apart. But we're at home. Throw something a little bit different and see what happens.
Shall I tell you the problem with that, guys? Sorry, Yanis. Can I tell you the problem with that?
Go ahead.
It's like putting all your chips on red and hoping red comes in. Because if you play that way, Yanis, and you try and outplay them and you try and go forward and you try and get a result, you run the risk against Man City of being stuffed 4 or 5 nil. And that's something you don't want. It's 18. I'm not talking about Fulham. I'm talking about 18.
Right.
You know, If they go there and they get a 0-0 draw, a 1-1 draw, even like a 2-1 loss,
yep,
it ain't that bad. You go and get stuffed 5-0 because you're trying to outplay them, and the players come back and they start to lose a little bit of confidence, a little bit of belief. So from my point of view, I think Scotty will probably weigh that up and say, it is a free hit. You're right, yep, it is a free hit. If we get something out of this game, we sit in, we've got great at the back, we've had 6 clean sheets in the last 9, something like that, 6 clean sheets, yeah. Yep. If we can play that way and defensively, and we can shut them down, and we get a draw, or we only lose a tight game, I think that's a plus for the team. I think a big minus is if you get stuffed 4 or 5-0.
I agree with that. And again, listen, we can also talk
just
about
my take, Giannis.
It's a great
point. Go ahead, Giannis.
It does make me, when you're saying about the 4-5-1, it makes me wonder if, does he put Reedy in with Lamina and Anguissa? Does he try and choke it up across the middle of the field? You've got to keep an eye on Foden. Mahrez is playing out of his wazzit right now.
All of them.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter who they put out at this point. It really doesn't. I mean, it's just, it's a machine. It really is a machine.
But Rodney played for enough teams to know that you go out and play against the big, big guns. And Rodney's played against Liverpool and United when they've been in the prime. And if the attitude is, well, we're going to sod this, we're probably going to lose, you're a goal or two down before the whistle's blown. But if you go in and say, okay, let's have a game plan. If we try and keep it tight, you never know. I mean, and I think the confidence that the lads have now, providing Scotty wears that lovely what did he call it?
Two sizes too small.
I said to my wife, I said, I'd like to get that, and I won't tell you what the remark
was. I love that. No, but they should be selling those in the club shop, shouldn't they, those jackets?
They should.
I'd buy one.
He's a fashion icon. That's what you've done. But, I mean, it'll be an interesting game. I mean, there's some tough games for the others coming up this weekend. So I'm curious to see, because he's a canny little lad. Old Scott, he's a thinker, and I love that about him. So he'll have a game plan.
Okay. All right, let's just end quickly with a prediction. And I also have a couple comments that I want to share from some of the foam supporters to you, Ronnie. But before we do that, we'll just go to a prediction. Yeah, Giannis, I'll get us going. And again, Ronnie said this, and I was thinking this. I was thinking 2-0 to Manchester City. But I'm going to say 2-1 to Manchester City, which, again, I'm not expecting – a result here, but I think 2-1 to, if they lost 2-1, I don't think that would be that terrible. And I think it that wouldn't. Would also it be wouldn't. A situation that you could actually take something out of. So I'm going to say 2-1 to Manchester City. Over to you, Giannis, and then we'll go to Rodney for his prediction.
Well, Rodney might enjoy this. If I was Mark Lawrenson, I'd predict that Fulham would lose, because he predicts Fulham are going to lose every game and Liverpool will win every game from now till 3000 AD. That's what he's laughing. I think we're going to lose 1-0, but that'll be no disgrace. But do not be surprised. Don't be surprised if we get a point.
Really?
I just think we're playing such confidence. Yeah.
I have to say, I completely agree with Giannis. I see it the same way. I see a draw or a narrow loss, depending on how Scotty sets up.
Okay. And, and what's interesting about this, Rodney, and like I said, just as you talked about Parker, when we just started talking about Parker, and the reason why I'm so glad that Fulham have stuck with him, and I've said this several times on the show, and Giannis knows this, he wasn't my choice. But I'm glad that the Cons have stuck with him and allowed him to grow as a manager. And what we're now seeing is game plan specific for opponents. And, as long as the players execute the plan, if they lose, fine. But at least they're executing. At least they're going out there with an idea of how to beat the opponent.
That's what they're doing, though. I mean, you can't understate. They are playing to a certain way. They're doing what the manager wants, and they're getting results. Now, some of the draws could have been wins. Okay, I think what they've had, like 7 draws in the last 10, something like that. They've had 7 draws, something. Some of those games could have been wins. But you play to your system, you play to your plan, and you believe in your manager, you've got a chance.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. All right. Okay, Rodney. And again, I'm going to share this. This is from Martin Smith. He actually message me as well. Because Russ, could you ask Rodney, did kickoff of the game, did one of you, he's talking about you and George Best, score from the halfway line? My granddad blesses said true or false. Is this true or false?
Oh, it's great knowledge. Great knowledge. It was a League Cup game, and I hit the crossbar from the kickoff. I shot from the kickoff and hit the crossbar, so I didn't score. But he almost got it right. Yes.
Okay, that's great stuff. That's great stuff. All right. One final thing before we go. And again, as I mentioned this before, and I got a good friend who's a former journalist now living in Spain. His name's Steve Reynolds, and that's Steve's birthday, and he's huge fan of yours, Rodney, so I'm going to just wish him happy birthday, and I call him the foam fart, Rodney, so I have a little here. This is happy birthday, Steve. He actually turned 62. I joke with him. I said he looks more like 72, but happy birthday, Steve. All right, good stuff. Rodney, listen, before we wrap this up, I want to thank you so much for spending a good 45, 50 minutes with Giannis and myself, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, I did indeed. No worries. Always good to speak to supporters.
Okay. Giannis, before we go, any final thoughts?
I just saw a question, and before we go, that Rodney might be able to, he might blush or not.
Okay.
Peter Duddy wrote in and asked, does Rodney remember Maud from Epsom?
I saw that.
Do you remember Maud from Epsom?
I would love to say yes, but it's no. Unless it was a racehorse that I bet on.
Oh, it was a racehorse. Yeah. It's been an absolute honor, Rodney. I when you and George came to Fulham, it was a dream come true for all of us as fans.
Don't forget Bobby Moore.
But I was always a big thing of the closest player we have in world football to the style of play and your approach to the game that you had all those years ago is Zlatan. Zlatan for me is a guy who's just magnificent, and at 39 does it all. And if you look at yourselves and Bolsey, Cluffy as a manager, certainly Robin Friday, Tony Curry, these are characters, Frank Worthington, who made the game such that I'd pay good money to go out and watch you play, even if I didn't support your club. And it's an honor to have you on. It's been fantastic to have you on. And I follow you on Twitter. So carry on with the great work on the radio show.
Keep following. No, enjoy it. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, well, that's gonna do it for this episode of the College Talk. For my very special guest, Rodney Marsh, and my co-host, Giannis Giannis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to College Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.